Dory Monson
on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM.
Tens of millions of Americans are underwater in their mortgage. Their home is worth less than what they owe to their lender. A lot of people are trying to get out. They've tried to negotiate short sales. A lot of people are just walking away from their mortgage. And yesterday, Jessica and Jake and I had this interesting conversation about whether it's ethical to walk away from your mortgage. And a Time Magazine blog points out that Washington is a non-recourse state. There are some states where if, let's say, you owe $500,000 on your house and it's only worth $200,000. There are some states where if you walked away from that mortgage, the bank could or the lender could sue you for $300,000, the difference. Not so here in Washington. We're one of about a dozen states that are non-recourse, so you can just walk away from your mortgage. But is that ethical? You know, you enter into an agreement. And what the Time Magazine blogger said, I'm quoting now, here's why I think it's perfectly fine to walk away from your mortgage if, after evaluating all the factors, it's the best financial decision for your family. You're acting within the bounds of the contract in a situation that no one had predicted. No one put a gun to the mortgage industry's head and ordered them to make loans in non-recourse states in the midst of a housing bubble. If the situation you're in means it makes sense to walk away from the mortgage, that's not illegal or even immoral. It's the predictable outcome of the way these loans were written. No need to make yourself a martyr out of obligation to your family or your bank. A local guy who consults people on this issue is Howard Bono, who joins us here on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. Hey, Howard, thanks for coming on with me today.
Oh, it's a treat for me, Dory. Thank you.
Okay, so let's start, first of all, before we get into the ethics of this. Is there anything I just said that's not correct? This is a non-recourse state, and the lender doesn't have any way to come after people who walk away from their mortgage if they're underwater?
Yeah, the first thing that I have to say, Dory, is I'm not an attorney. I've got to say that. But I can tell you that in the state of Washington, lenders can go after people that are behind in a foreclosure and do a judicial foreclosure, which means, of course, courts. And in that case, they can come back and sue for a deficiency judgment. In almost every case overwhelming in this state, they do a non-judicial foreclosure, which is an administrative action. And in trade for that administrative action, which is faster, cheaper, and easier for the banks to do, in trade for that, they give up the right to come back after people for a deficiency judgment.
Okay. What if it's a huge number? What if somebody owes 500 grand and their house is worth 300 grand and they try to walk away? It's a $200,000 hit the lender's taking, right?
Correct.
And there's nothing they could do about it to the homeowner.
Correct. Okay. If they do a non-judicial foreclosure, basically they give up the right to do a deficiency.
Okay.
However,
since I'm using layman's terms, is a non-judicial foreclosure the same or similar to walking away from your mortgage?
Well, non-judicial foreclosure is the legal way that the bank comes and does a foreclosure. Non-judicial means no judges. It's just an administrative action.
Okay. All right. So it's the phrase I'm using is the same process as the phrase you're using.
Correct.
Walking away from your mortgage. Okay, all right. I mean, I just want to make sure people understand that we're not talking about two different things. Okay, let's talk about the ethics of it. A homeowner enters into a contract, says, and let's say it's somebody who can afford to keep paying on their mortgage, but they just know that they're underwater. Is it unethical for them to walk away?
Well, I don't think it's unethical, and here's why. When you sign a mortgage contract, and those of us and the listeners that are listening that have done that, it's a big stack of papers. Most of the time, you don't get to review it. Most of the time, you don't even read it, and if you did, you probably wouldn't understand everything. The banks wrote it. You didn't get a chance to negotiate it. What that contract actually says is, number one, if I, the homeowner, continue to make my payments, you, the bank, will leave me alone. It also has provisions in there that says, if I, the homeowner, don't make my payments, you, the bank, have recourse. That recourse is you get to take the house, And in each individual state, there's other things that they can do. So there's nothing in that contract that says I don't get to make the conscious choice that I'm going to choose option number two. And option number two is I don't pay, you get the house back. That's part of the original deal that we've made as homeowners with the bank.
Okay, so you agree with this Time Magazine guy that the lenders made the loan in-house in a housing bubble, and they made it in a non-recourse state, and nobody put a gun to their head to make that loan. So there's you also agree that there's no problem with somebody walking away, it sounds like.
I absolutely agree. Not only did they not put a gun to the bank's head, but the bank set the terms. And the bank also set the provisions for what happens if somebody does stop paying. For whatever the reason they stop paying is irrelevant. Whether they do or whether they don't is all that's addressed in the contract.
See, I wrestle with this, Howard, because I believe my word is my bond. I try to do everything in an honorable way, but I also understand that is staying within the legality of that contract. And I also believe that everybody listening has a higher priority to their family and doing what's best financially for their family than they do to a bank or a lending institution.
I agree. Can we turn this on its side just for a moment? Let's say, for example, all of your listeners out there have a cell phone in their pocket right now, probably. Every one of those people have a contract that they signed for the cell phone. So if you went and got a cell phone contract and you signed a two-year contract for $200 a month, And a month later, another cell phone company came out and said, we'll do exactly the same thing, exactly the same phone for $100 a month. But you have to sign a two-year contract with us. So you call your original contract, your original cell phone company back and say, hey, look, match the deal and we're good.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, they say, no, you can't do that. And if you cancel, there's a penalty. And the penalty is $200 or $300. So you run the numbers and you say, okay, look, I save $100 a month for the next 24 months, but it's going to cost me $250 to get out of this contract, this original contract, and that's the consequence of me making that decision.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm willing to live with that consequence, then over the course of this thing, I'm going to save $2,000. You know, if there's no moral issue there, is there?
Right. No, you're right. You're right.
It's just a contract.
Okay.
You didn't sit across the table from your banker and look him in the eye, and he said, I'm going to pay, you're going to pay me, right? You didn't do that. They brought in the lawyers. They took the moral part of that contract away, and they made it a contractual obligation.
And you're
doing is saying, okay, I'm fulfilling the contract.
Right. If I walk away, your recourse is take my property. That's part
right.
of the deal.
And okay. I'm willing to pay the consequences.
Okay. What are the consequences to the homeowner who walks away? And we got to accelerate because I've only got about 90 seconds here. But what are the consequences? What kind of hit do you take to your credit rating and all of that?
Your credit's going to be damaged. We don't believe going forward that's going to be an issue because the banks are going to have 15 million houses when this is over, and they're going to be willing to sell them to anybody that can buy them or wants to buy them. And the banks have already proven they will change whatever rules they need to in the future so that they can make their profits. So you're going to take a credit hit. You're also going to have an issue with the IRS because the IRS believes if the bank takes a loss, then the IRS looks at it as a gift. So they want their tax money on whatever money the banks take a loss on.
Who's going to determine, real quick, who's going to determine that number? Let's say you owe $500,000. Who's going to determine that your house was worth $400,000 and the IRS is going to come after you for $100,000 or $450,000 or $350,000? Who's going to set that number that the IRS is going to be coming after?
The banks. The bank will set that number. However, there are some outs. There are some laws in place to protect homeowners. You pretty much, I can tell people, if you have one loan on your house and it's the house you live in, you're pretty much untouchable in terms of taxes and in terms of the banks coming after you in this state. You're pretty much untouchable.
Hmm. All right. Interesting. If people want to get hold of you, you gave me some good info. Let's get you a plug. How do they get hold of you?
Oh, so what we've done is we've put together a special report that's called The Three Barriers Trapped Homeowners Face. And it's a special report for your listeners. People can go get it at myownbailout.com. They can download it today. It's an absolute free download. And it talks about not only the morals part of this, but also the credit and then good old-fashioned pride, the three things that are really stopping people from making decisions to find life on the other side of this mess.
All right. Good info. Howard, appreciate you coming on with me. Thanks so much.
Dory, thank you very much.
Okay, Howard Bono, myownbailout.com if you want to see more. I think it's a fascinating issue and one that millions of people are wrestling with right now.